In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome back to the Bud Light Huddle. We're at Kelly's Bleachers in Milwaukee on Blue Mountain. I'm Bart Winkler from Chuck and Winkler on the flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Kevin Holden, CBS 58, who hung out with me on the morning show today. He'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin does the sports over there, and Drew Burgoyne does the weather, and he's here. He says he's here in a fan role. Drew knows more than half the guys on our station.
Yeah, he's an informed fan.
Okay, yeah, in an informed fan role, in a good way. So Drew Burgoyne's here as well, and I appreciate you guys being here because, if I'm not mistaken, both of you are on the air tonight.
Yes, starting at 9 o'clock over on WMLW.
So yeah. 9 o'clock and then the 10 o'clock news.
You got it.
That's coming up. You can check out these guys. Also, if you are listening on our flagship station or the radio.com app, we've got more good football programming tonight from 8 to 10. It's our college football show, a new top 10 ranking coming out, a new top 25 ranking coming out for the college football playoffs. The D3 playoffs are in full swing, so they'll have that all that covered today. The college football show, a special time tonight, 8 to 10, maybe the most underrated show we have on our flagship station. You can check that out, again, 1057fmthefan.com. If you're not in the Milwaukee area or where you listen to Bill's programming on the radio.com app. A lot of Packer talk throughout the day today on all these fine stations, but I think the most overwhelming football topic was, and I do want to dive into this just for a moment, was the game last night, the Monday night football game between the Rams and the Chiefs. Rams win 54-51. Everybody acting like they never seen a game with points before. I don't know what's going on. The Rams-Chiefs game is a game that we've been looking forward to the entire season. The midseason Super Bowl, it's been called for 10 weeks, and we're all looking forward to it. And we're looking forward to it because it's two teams that have put up a lot of points. It's very high scoring. And if you play fantasy football and you've got Mahomes or Hunt or even Conley last night or not so much Gurley, one of the Rams receivers, Goff, you're thinking, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to sit down Monday Night Football and just watch the team score a bunch of points. And we all watched it. We all enjoyed it. And then I look online today and hear some phone calls and listen to the different shows. Defense is dead. Football's dead. Keep in mind, three of the touchdowns were scored defensively.
Right.
Nearly 20% of the points in that game last night came from the defense. Why is everybody overreacting, Kevin? What's going on
here? Well, it's because we had it ingrained. The part of us that was like, tough man football.
But we got what we wanted.
But
we're mad about it?
Well, I'm just saying the part that's ingrained, it's like, defense wins championships.
No.
That's the thing that matters. And the truth is, the game's changing. The game is changing in a lot of different ways. And the physicality of football, CTE and concussions and the effects of big hits and how the league has changed targeting rules and all that sort of thing has sort of led us to this point, where the action is not the defensive side of the ball as much as it is the offensive side of the ball. We've been set up for something like this for a while, and I've got to say, I think it's a ton of fun. I really do. It was a back-and-forth battle. There were weapons all over the field, both offenses. And, I thought, you mentioned this morning, Bar, like my thought was, and a lot of people thought, wouldn't it be fun if the green and gold could do that? Wouldn't it be fun if the green and gold put up 51? And
hey, maybe score 30. That'd be a good start.
Yeah. Yeah, if the Packers do that last night, no one's complaining that defense is dead.
Well, how about, okay, go back to 1983, right, when the Packers beat the Redskins 48-47 on Monday night. That was a thrilling game, all this kind of stuff. Same deal, you know? I mean, these games happen. I thought it was entertaining. What I liked about it was after the newscast, after, not in the studio, the game was on in the newsroom, and there were a bunch of people that were hovered around the TV just watching. You know, they wanted to see, see the end.
After the newscast, yeah.
After the newscast, so it's entertaining. These games happen, and people are talking about it, the NFL wins when it comes to that, right?
Well, in the highest scoring game ever, which nearly ended football, 72-41, the Redskins beat the Giants. That was in 1966.
Right.
1966.
In the primitive era, quote-unquote, of football.
In the Ice Bowl era.
Right. And they scored 113 points.
In the frozen tundra era.
Ooh.
Got the voice now.
Yeah, I didn't ever do that before.
That's really good.
Yeah. I'll lose it, though, by tomorrow.
No, I gotta ask you about it
in
tomorrow.
In the Rogers. I lost it.
The
I lost it
shiny town.
I don't know. I thought it was very strange, and you saw a lot of the high-profile NFL analysts almost as if there was a boardroom meeting last night where they decided, here's the take we're going to have coming out of this game. We're going to complain that there were too many points, even though that's what we asked for the entire season for this game. And I just don't understand it. Is there no middle ground? I mean, in the NBA, if it's 85-80, not enough scoring. All right, here's 123-115. Too much. I mean, football. You want to – who said – somebody on Twitter said, give me a 15. Our friend Rob Reichel, not to
really
throw him out of the mud. He said he wanted a 15-13 good old NFC North 1992 game. Robbie, I don't believe you. I don't believe any of –
I don't want to watch anybody that
complained that there was too much offense and not enough defense last night. I don't believe them. I think they're lying. And 20% of the points were scored by the defense. Why do we do this? Why do we make up things to be mad about?
And I don't think we're going to see games like this in the playoffs. People all worry, you know, it'll even itself out, and you know. But games like this are fun, you know. I mean, I don't know.
When you get a game like this, and you want to complain about it, you have to do it after the game because you sure don't have time to do it during the game
because you're enjoying the hell out of it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's must see.
A point. What you should be complaining about when you watch a game like that is you should be saying, wow, it's so easy to score in this league. Why did the Packers have 4 3-and-outs in the second half and a field goal?
That's the most frustrating
against
part.
The Seahawks.
Why are they punting?
Why is Rodgers throwing it at Valdes-Scantling's feet? Why are they punting on 4th-and-2 when you punt the game away?
Why not
the Rams can just put up 25 points in a quarter. Chiefs can put up 25 points in a quarter and a half. Packers can't put up more than 25 points in a game. Well, that's what we got to complain about.
And when you remember the game in L.A., when the safety happened, as soon as the safety happened, it was
right.
Like the Rams grabbed it. And it wasn't just that they grabbed it for that possession where they got the ball. I mean, they had momentum at that moment.
Right.
But for the next, essentially, quarter, like the rest of that quarter and the first half of the next quarter, it was just pound, 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 pound. Like, they, you know, all of a sudden, the defense is like, oh, my God, there's like seven things coming at us. All, and it was one mistake that this offense capitalized on. What I mean by this is it's not just an offense that's a collection of bodies. It's an offensive mindset. It's the offensive version of the old defensive mindset. With the old Ravens, if you gave that defense an opportunity, they would do something to you.
Why can't we go up-tempo? Run the no huddle, you know? Oh, you're going to tire people out. We got to say no. Just put the pedal down and do it, you know? Try it. Something's got to give. You got to do better than what, you know, what we're doing. That's what I don't understand. You got a guy like Rodgers that's a field general
right.
That knows the offense better than anybody, and it just feel like it's the slow. It takes forever to develop. Why can't we just go out, you know, when we're starting slow first quarter and just put the hammer down and get into a rhythm and go? I don't understand.
Well, that's one of the things I really liked about last night's game is that maybe all this buildup, the Rams and the Chiefs, right at kickoff, they knew we've got to score. If we're going to win this game, we've got to score. The over 60, we've got to score. And yet when you see some of these other teams in the league, and it's not just the Packers, they come into these games just so timid, and they play not to lose, and you're in the NFL. You worked your life to get here. You sacrificed so much, and you're going to get to a game and hope that you win? I mean, you should be coming out throwing out all the stops all the time. You should be Sean Payton going for it on a 4th-and-7 when you're up 31 points. You worked your life to get here. Play like it. Coach like it.
What about the Patriots? First drive against the Packers. Remember that first drive where all of a sudden everyone's back on their heels. Like, wait. They're just marching down the field.
Like they hit fast forward and just rolled down there.
10 here, 12 here, 15 here, 10 here. Now all of a sudden they're in the red zone and the game didn't even start yet, you thought. And they're in the red zone. And there was a time when the Packers had something similar. It's a while ago. It was 2011. But you remember that offense put up all those points. And part of it was everything was quick release, quick move, quick this, quick that. And it turns people into weapons. Now, I'm not saying that you put the Packers' skill set against the Chiefs' skill set of their skill position players. They're not necessarily at that level. But you could put them at a different level if you operated your offense differently.
You have Rodgers, Davante Adams. And right now, I'm looking at Aaron Jones and I'm saying I'm building the offense around you. I'm building it around you, and you're going to be the guy.
We'll talk more about that coming up, and then we'll take a look at the rest of Week 12 in the NFL. It is the Bud Light Huddle. That's Drew Burgoyne. That's Kevin Holden. I'm Bart Winkler. We're here at Kelly's Bleachers Blue Mount in Milwaukee. Come on out. Don't forget about their Thanksgiving Turkey Day Buffet. Bar opens at 9. The buffet starts at 10. Name a Thanksgiving food. Anything that you want, except for romaine lettuce.
Oh, is that not a thing? I learn more about Wisconsin all the time.
No, it's like a disease.
Oh, no, that's okay.
It's like a recall major.
Oh, no, none of that.
E. coli. Big time situation.
No, that's why I bought all that on discount today.
Yeah, sure. Don't eat it. Don't eat it on
that's
Thanksgiving.
That's why they're like, have it all for a buck.
More from the Bud Light Huddle next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Second time around in division games is always a fun challenge from my perspective. You know, there's things that you do differently in the second game than you do in the first game. And, you know, both teams, you look at it's been a while since we played. So, yeah, this is all about beating the Vikings. We clearly understand where we are in our season, the big picture. But, we have to win this division game.
Head coach Mike McCarthy blowing the same smoke that he typically does. I'm Bart Winkler. In for Bill, who will be back on the Bill Michaels show tomorrow.
I don't even listen to it anymore.
Drew Burgoyne, I didn't listen to what he just said. I can't. It's like it's like a fan at night. I need the fan on to sleep.
Noise. Yeah, the white noise.
But
yeah.
You don't hear it. Drew Burgoyne, CBS 58. Kevin Holden, CBS 58. Both out of Milwaukee. Check out them tonight on the 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock newscast. Kevin's all suited up, Drew. Why aren't you suited up?
Yeah, he wanted to be he's very presidential almost.
I've done this all day today, and I have no explanation for it other than when I got ready to go to work. Even when I go to work, if I'm not on the air, I'm not dressed up. And today I'm dressing up for moment one.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have an explanation.
Yeah, most of the time, we remind them to wear pants in the newsroom.
Yeah, so look at that.
Somebody thought I had a job interview. They're like, why are you dressed up at this hour?
You work at a TV station, and they thought you had a job interview for wearing a suit?
Yeah, they were like, why are you like all the way suited up? Did you sneak out and do something? I'm like, I didn't interview for a job. Come on.
You seem to have some interesting coworkers.
Well, you know some of them. You know old Scott Grodzki.
Oh, Scott Grodzki. I did the show with him and Bill a couple weeks ago at a bar in the South Side. A few weeks ago.
That was when you got the cancer
Friends
hats.
Of Forest Home. Yeah, we got some very interesting hats that night. And we thanked the guy for it, but anyway. Drew, you mentioned Aaron Jones before the break, and he is a big-time piece, I think, that this Packers offense should be building around. I don't think you completely build away from Aaron Rodgers, but they do need to use Aaron Jones more. We've mentioned the Saints a lot throughout the last couple of days. The Saints have been a very weird team the last 10 years. They're either 11-5 or 7-9.
Right.
And Drew Brees sometimes was asked to do too much in those 7-9 years. So what do? They get Mark Ingram, helps a little bit, could be your Jamal Williams. They get Alvin Kamara, could be your Aaron Jones. And all of a sudden, Drew Brees' stats look better than ever, but that's because he's afforded the ability to do that with the threat of the run game and the run game out of the pass game in terms of the screen and what he can do. And we saw Aaron Jones do that on that one drive where he really turned into a receiver, including his touchdown. It just, I don't know. We did this with Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy needs 20 touches. But that was for a different reason. That was for you need to pound the rock. Aaron Jones needs 20 touches because he might be their best player on offense.
Because he's getting 7 to 8, you know, a carry and can be anywhere. I would look at that guy if you're the offensive coordinator or if you're an Aaron Rodgers saying, we just need to do everything we can to isolate this guy, right, to give him the best looks, the best opportunities that we can. I mean, he is the difference maker. They've been looking for this guy for a long time. You mentioned Eddie Lacy, you know. I mean, that was a guy they drafted, they had high hopes for, and, you know, obviously couldn't control the eating and, you know, and his, you know, maybe his passion just wasn't there. And you got this kid who obviously had some issues, you know, early, came back, apologized, and now, you know, he's healthy. And why wouldn't you just use this kid in all these different – what else does he have to do? Maybe that's my question. What else does he have to do? He can block enough, right? Who cares? I mean, give this guy as many touches as you can. You're right. Aaron Rodgers should be just salivating having a guy like that.
Because it helps him. You know,
right.
A wise person once told me the run opens up the pass. And if you do that effectively, you don't have to do it with a bruiser. The idea is you just have that option that just forces defenses to do something, forces them. That's the point of pre-snap trickeration, all of that. It just forces forces the defense to do something else. Here I go again.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers likes – I don't know. I could be way off on this, but I've said this many times throughout the year, that it seems like Aaron Rodgers is on his sixth game of Madden. And what I mean by that is when you sit down to play Madden football or any video game football, you're into it. You're playing the game. You really want to win. Another team comes at you. Little dink and dunk, little run here. You strategize on every single play. And you win. You win like 24 to 15. You win the game because you did it the right way. Second game, you win. Kind of the same. Third game, I mean, I know I can win this way. I mean, what am I going to do? The same thing? Maybe I'll throw a Hail Mary here. I get picked off. Whatever. You still win 21-20. By your sixth game, the 12-pack of beer is gone. The pizza's half eaten. It's 2 in the morning. Hike. Drop back. Whip it up. That to me is how I feel he plays, where the conventional way to win, he knows he can win that way. I just don't know if it's as fun for him to win in a boring way. I don't think it's about winning for Rodgers. I think, personally, and he may tell you otherwise, but this is what I see. I think it's not just fun for him to win. I think he has to win a certain way for it to be fun.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. As a fan, when I watch Aaron Jones, I'm like, man, we've been looking for this X factor, you know? I mean, I know a lot of people mentioned, you know, Sproles a couple of years ago and this and that.
Sure.
You know, and they're different guys, but just the speed. I remember when, you know, McCarthy just foolishly, you know, takes this kid out for a series and Jamal Williams comes in. And I use the example of the tortoise and the hare. I'm like, oh, my goodness. It just seemed so stinking slow with him. And I like Jamal Williams. I no problem with him. But you put a playmaker like, you know, Aaron Jones on the field who can do so many different things and can just sit there in the backfield and can be a dump off, you know. I mean, I don't know. But Bart, I agree with you. You know, there's style points, I think, to Rodgers and, you know, and holding the ball and wanting to develop something big and these deep throws and all of that, which it's great, but quite frankly, just move the chains, score points. Why don't you start by scoring points consistently, and then let's do some of this, you know, this other stuff.
Like if I interviewed Aaron Rodgers or someone told Aaron Rodgers, hey, this is a theory that some guy says, he would say, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
Well, then what is the reason? What is the reason that it seems you're more excited and reliant on Bobby Tonyan 54-yarders than you are just driving down the field? And it's not just a one game. This is ever since the year that he figured out he could draw teams offsides or see 12 men on the field. I mean, it almost seemed like that was their only play and they couldn't do much else. And then there were the Hail Marys where it's like you can't win unless you win on a Hail Mary.
Well, remember 2011. I mean, it was just air, big, deep throws.
Even back to then.
Yeah. And it seemed like from there, after they won the championship, and then I don't know. I think you got some good pieces on this, you know, this offense. And if you're, you know, the right side of the offensive line, maybe not the greatest, you know. You get Bulaga that's, you know, been banged up, and I like Brian Bulaga. You know, Bell, okay, you know, take some pressure off, you know, a little safety valve, and this kid can go. And then eventually, okay, now we're going to have to put a spy on this guy, and you're going to open up other opportunities for some of these other guys, maybe MVS or Equiminius or somebody else. I don't know. I'm not an offensive coordinator, so I don't.
I'm curious, though, the idea about Rodgers that you're talking about, is it that Rodgers is – you ever known someone who's like – Whitey Herzog used to say this about Ozzie Smith. He's a genius, and geniuses have to be challenged in a
different way. No, I think that's
a
big part of it.
Right?
I think that's a big part of it.
That he's on some other mental plane.
I go to Madden because I'm a loser millennial, but I think that Rodgers does get bored. I think he's so smart. He can play – he can run a play and tell you 15 different ways he ran that play and 15 different ways the defense have covered it. He's done it all before.
Yeah.
So what is going to keep you stimulated? I just don't think that he's – I just don't think that he's stimulated. You know, I don't think he's as excited as he once used to be. And the most excited that I saw him against Seattle was when he hit Tanyan. I mean, he was jacked up. And it looked like the Packers were going to win that game. And they just went back to not being able to do any of that. And there were plays where he had open guys. The Aaron Jones one in the red zone. We all saw the picture online and rewatched the video. I mean, he's open, but you're going for the big play because it's more exciting or stimulating. And I when he looks back on his career, I think there's going to be some regret there.
If you are looking at Rodgers as a genius that has to be challenged in a different way, that has to be stimulated, then the idea of what Mike McCarthy does with play calling, as bad as it rubs on us, I imagine it would rub twice as difficult for him, right? And maybe there's you're starting to get at maybe some of the center of this rift, this Rodgers rift, you know, where if he's that guy and he's like, you know, come on, we got to do something here with this, then that's part of it. It's not just coach doesn't like quarterback. That you can understand the psychology of that dynamic if Rodgers is that genius who isn't getting challenged. Makes sense.
We'll find out what it looks like Sunday night. Packers have the Vikings. How do we think that one's going to go down? How do we think the Turkey Day games are going to go down? How do we think the rest of Week 12 is going to go down? We'll have that coming up. We're at Kelly's Bleachers, Blue Mount in Milwaukee. The Bud Light Huddle continues on the Bill Michaels Radio Network.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, he'll rather throw the punch than to be punched. If it's all said and done, I'm going to throw the punch, and, you know, I'm going to live with it. So I can respect that. That's a sign. That's a sign of a guy wanting to win. A guy saying that I'm not going to sit back and take the punch. I'm going to deliver the punch, and if I knock him out, I'm going to knock him out. If not, then I got to keep playing. It's going to be a tough game.
Tremont Williams talking about Mike Pettine and the aggressive approach. He also said that he wishes they would have won for it on that fourth down against Seattle. We all do, Tremont. Thank you for speaking for us. I'm Bart Winkler, and for Bill Michaels, Kevin Holden, and Drew Burgoyne with CBS 58. You can catch Kevin and I on Chuck and Winkler tomorrow, 105.7 FM, The Fan, also on the radio.com app, tomorrow the morning show, 6 to 10, on our flagship station. We're going to look through the games. We'll get back to Tremont Williams and the Packers and predict that one coming up in a little bit, not too far from now. Let's look at the Thanksgiving Day games first, the 4-6 Lions. They always host that Thanksgiving Day game. They've got the early one against the Chicago Bears, who come in at 7-3. Should be an easy one for the Bears unless Chase Daniel goes and not Mitch Trubisky. Drew, who you got in this one?
Is Trubisky out? Do we know? Or
yeah, he's in doubt. There's no official word.
All right, then I'm going to go.
You can do an if.
Yeah. I like that game's just funny, you know, with the Lions.
Lions at home, there's always a 45-minute halftime of some pop artist you've never heard of.
Right, right. I think that's on our station, isn't that CBS? Is that the CBS
game? I believe
game?
That's right.
All right.
Yep.
No, I'm going – I'm going to go Lions on that one. If Trubisky, you know, is in there –
So, wait, there's no episode of The Talk on Thursday?
Oh, yeah, I think that gets preempted. So,
oh, man.
With your TV grid.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
Solid.
So, I got you.
Yeah, we'll go Lions on that one. Yeah.
if Trubisky's out, then I think the Lions win it. And what a great benefit that ends up being for the Packers, because it keeps that division a little bit tighter, just a little bit closer. If it's Chase Daniel, that's the Lions win. If it's Trubisky, I think the Bears win it.
Right. The Lions have just been very underwhelming. I'm going to take the Bears no matter what.
Oh, wow. Even
that's
with
your
Chase
team.
Daniel,
that,
I'll take the Bears no matter what. I don't like the Bears. I think they're good. The Cowboys, 5-5. They host the Redskins, 6-4. It will be Colt McCoy and the Redskins against the Cowboys. This is a case where I think the backup quarterback does come into play, and I don't think Washington's that good anyway, so I will take the Cowboys in this one.
Yeah, I agree on that one. I made the mistake of watching that injury. Yeah, I feel bad for Alex Smith, but yeah, I gotta go Dallas on that one.
It was interesting that Dallas won to go to 5-5, and all of a sudden it was like, oh wow, Dallas has put themselves in position to win the East, which tells you more about the East than anything.
I was just gonna say, yeah.
But that's where we are there at home, and it's Colt McCoy, and you know Colt McCoy was a star QB at Texas. Not gonna help him in this game.
No.
Let's not forget there's a Thursday night game once again. It will be the Falcons at 4-6 coming into the Superdome to take on the Saints, 9-1. Falcons have had a couple up and down weeks. Saints look better than anybody right now outside of the Rams and Chiefs. And you could put them at the top, that's fine. I'd like the Saints. I mean, I'm going to take the Saints.
Yeah, Falcons haven't done anything for me to think that they could go in and beat them, you know, there at home.
My mom's listening back in Georgia.
Oh, you going to take Atlanta?
No. I was just a little alcohol before the needle. Sorry, Mom, Saints win this thing big.
Ooh, okay. All right. Got to do it to your mom. I get it. We move to Sunday where the Ravens at 5-5 host the Raiders at 2-8. Raiders got a win last week against Arizona. Baltimore beat Cincinnati as well. I watched the games on Red Zone, okay, on Sunday. I didn't realize until I was looking at some of the stats later that night, Lamar Jackson ran 27 times with the football. I'm going to take the Ravens over the hapless Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders are just, what a mess. Yeah.
They may not win again in this season, the Raiders.
I can't believe these two next teams have the same record. The Bills and the Jaguars, both 3-7.
Oh, my.
Highly disappointed in the Jacksonville Jaguars. I thought they'd be much better than this. I will take them to go to Buffalo to win, but it's shocking to me when you look at it and you see they have the same record.
Yeah, weren't they? I mean, really supposed to take over that division, go deep, you know, deep in the playoffs.
I mean, they're in the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
This, by the way, is a rematch of a wild card game from last year's playoffs.
Oh, that's right.
The Jaguars and Bills made it.
This is a playoff rematch.
Game.
The Jags and the Bills.
That's crazy.
How can that be?
Jaguars have a big quarterback problem, and you know,
well,
in my opinion, and
they just finished playing their best game of the year and losing to the Steelers, who
right.
came that furious comeback.
That's true.
So, and that's a backbreaker, but Buffalo is still.
Oh
so
yeah, no,
bad.
No, yeah, no. The Bills are awful. So
Jaguars
should
win
that
to
win, yeah.
Panthers at 6-4 host the Seahawks at 5-5. This one's interesting. Seattle does have to go West Coast, but they have a few more extra days of rest. I will always take Carolina at home. I'm taking Carolina here against Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously Seattle beat us. I don't see anything there that really scares anybody. So, yeah, I'll take Carolina.
Carolina, still to me, is the team that will end up as the first wild card, the first the best of the rest, and yeah, I think they win this one.
That loss in Detroit, disappointing for them. I was watching the end of that game too, and while I appreciate the fact that they went for two to try to win, I'm a big feel guy, based on feel. Yeah, I get it. You don't bunt in baseball. Sometimes you do.
Yeah.
If you feel like it, if it feels right, it didn't feel right to me that the Panthers went for two there. I don't know why you're desperate to get a win against Detroit's not that good.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if you're going to go – when you go for two, that'd be like, you know, the Packers against the Rams or against the Patriots. You're on the road. You got to get the win. You're on the road. Go for two. Why the Panthers were going for against the Lions, I didn't quite understand that one. I didn't hear what Ron Rivera said about it. I know he's Riverboat Ron.
Riverboat Ron.
We all love that, but still, looking at that score and looking back at that game, I don't get it. I don't understand. So we'll see what happens on Sunday on that one. Another 1 o'clock game. It will be the Cincinnati Bengals at 5-5, taking on the 3-6-1 Cleveland Browns, a little Hugh Jackson revenge game here, as he's now a special. He's like Dwight Schrute. He's an assistant to the coach, Marvin Lewis. Bengals again 5-5. Browns 3-6-1. Bengals have been really struggling as of late. I am tempted to take the Browns. Why not? We're not scoring this. I'm going to take the Browns.
Yeah, I like the upset. I'll go with you on that. We'll go Browns.
Four words. Bengals beats Battlestar Galactica.
Okay, all right. I like that one. Bengals, by the way, if it's convincing in any way, they won the last seven matchups between the two interstate teams. The Jets at 3-7 host the Patriots at 7-3.
Do we even have to go?
Patriots have the bye. Both teams actually coming off a bye. You know who has gotten the Patriots this year? Some of his former guys. Belichick lost to Patricia. Then Mike Vrabel, a guy who he coached the first time he ever coached against one of his players in Tennessee. They got him. The Patriots, they lose to these teams that are – and then Tennessee goes up and puts up a stinker the next week against the Colts. You got to take New England here. Anybody want to argue?
Nope.
I mean, you got to take New England, so that's what we'll do. For those of you into referee assignments, Ed Hockley's son, Sean, has the call on that game. Remember, Ed retired, and Sean is now in the league.
That's why there feels like that huge void in the NFL. There is no Ed Hockley.
But we've got the son.
We got Sean.
Does he have the same arms?
He does not.
Okay, all right.
He does not. You can never live up to your father.
Ed ate all the food in the house. He was like, I got fuel, son.
Yeah. A couple more 1 o'clock games, actually. We'll do those before the break, and then we'll do Packers-Vikings. The Eagles host the Giants. Eagles are 4-6. Giants are 3-7. NFC East really is wide open. I have to think that the Eagles are going to bounce back at some point. Now, maybe last year was a fluke for them. I mean, they won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. And the Giants, you know, we talk about Aaron Jones and Davante Adams. They've got Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham, but Packers have Rodgers. Giants have Eli Manning is brutal.
Yeah.
I do like the Eagles at home in this one on the weekend game.
Yeah, I got to go with the Eagles on that.
The Eagles are an okay football team that's underperforming. The Giants are just a plain bad football team.
It's bad.
It's the Eagles.
Yep.
And then one more 1 o'clock game. The Buccaneers at 3-7 against the San Francisco 49ers at 2-8. Jameis Winston back in a starting role.
Yeah.
For the Buccaneers, as those musical chairs continue to swerve, I'm going to go with whatever you guys say.
I think the winner is the network that put him at this time slot, that is, so they don't have to show him to much of the country. I'm going to go Tampa Bay. San Francisco is just it's two bad teams, but San Francisco's at a different, like a special level of bad. I know that was only a 3-point win for the Packers over the Niners, but they are a bad football team.
Yeah, Tampa's like 3.5-point favorites. That sounds about right to me, yeah.
Drew, pick a number between 1 and 1,000.
All right. What do you want me to say?
Would you?
Sure. 457.
457 is odd. I'll take the Buccaneers. We'll come back and do our 3 o'clock in the prime time in the Packers and the Vikings game coming up. It is the Bud Light Huddle. We're at Kelly's Bleachers on Blue Mound in Milwaukee here for another 15 minutes. And then don't forget the college football show. So those of you in Milwaukee, keep your radios on. If you're streaming on the app, we've got more football programming coming for you, good football programming coming for you after this. We are here. Bill Michaels, Sports Talk Network.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Sucks, yeah. It sucks. Everybody's very frustrated. Nobody wants to lose games, so we don't go out and work every day in the off season to come into the season in shape and go through training camp and beat each other up in training camp and go through seasons and lose games. Nobody wants to do that. That's not fun. You know, we want to win games, and you know, we've won a lot around here, and we got to find a way to get back on track.
Back here at Kelly's Bleachers, one more little go-around here, and then it's time for the college football show. If you're listening locally on 105.7 FM, The Fan, if you're not, the radio.com app, you can pick that up. Don Beebe to
Don
join the program
Beebe.
An hour from now. Don Beebe, has a new head coaching job at Aurora University in Illinois.
Really?
And, he's going to join the guys at 9 o'clock on The Fan. So if you're listening on the radio, you can check out Don Beebe then. You can also listen to all of our flagship shows and the Bill Michaels shows, 105.7FMTheFan.com and the radio.com app. That's where you find me. I'm Bart Winkler from The Morning Show. Chuck and Winkler, Kevin Holden, CBS 58, and really the substitute teacher of our morning show. He'll be with me again tomorrow. Drew Burgoyne, also CBS 58. Kevin in the sports department, Drew in the weather. Are we supposed to get snow this weekend or what?
Yeah, it looks like maybe Sunday to Monday.
Because I'm coming back Sunday.
You'll be fine.
After the game?
No, I'm going to be up north all week, but I'm driving back to Milwaukee on Sunday.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to get back before the game.
Before the game.
So I can hunker down and
watch the game.
Watch the Packers lose.
Then we're coming back on Monday. We're going to be in Minnesota for the game.
Oh, how about that?
But the fortunate thing is they tell me that there's a roof on that stadium. So
if you're going to be at the game, can you predict the game, or is this one of those weird things where...
Oh, no, I have no conflict.
Okay, I hate when they do that.
Right.
I'm calling the game. I can't dare give a generic 24-21 prediction that no one will remember. All right, let's take a look at the rest of the afternoon games and the primetime games for Week 12 in the NFL as we went through the first batch and the Turkey Day games just before. 3:05, the Chargers 7-3 at the StubHub Center, home of the LA Galaxy. They host the Arizona Cardinals 2-8. Chargers.
They've been a good team this year.
Chargers. We'll move on. The Denver Broncos at 4-6 host the Pittsburgh Steelers. Interesting one. Steelers are 7-2-1. These two teams have given us some good battles in the past. Steelers have won the past two or three between the teams. Broncos beat the Chargers last week on the road. Steelers just got by Jacksonville. I want to go Chargers. I'm sorry, the Broncos. Chargers, we already did. But I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I'll keep riding the favorites this week.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah.
Literally, when you were doing that, I was like, find a reason to pick Denver. And then at the end of it, as soon as you said you're picking Pittsburgh, I looked at you like,
Fine.
Picking Pittsburgh.
Here's a Sunday game. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, CBS 58.
Hey. Oh, hey, the 058.
Which means a late 10 o'clock news for you boys Sunday.
We'll be covering a game, so it'll be late no matter what.
Right.
You in on Sunday?
I am, yeah. I'm actually filling in on Sunday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you go Monday, Friday, or do they make you go Sunday, Thursday?
No, Monday through Friday. Justin, my weekend meteorologist, he's coming back from he's having a baby. So,
yeah.
He's been on for about 3 weeks taking care of baby, which is good. So, I'm going to fill in on Sunday. I'm
going to
be watching the game anyways.
Yeah. Sure,
I mean, after all the work is done.
Right.
Yeah,
of course.
But not in the studio.
Yeah, not really.
Well, CBS 58 is where you want to go for that.
Yep.
Or if you're in a different part of the country on your CBS affiliate, you could get Colts Dolphins. This one moved to 4:25 Eastern Time. Colts 5-5, Dolphins 5-5. Andrew Luck has thrown 3 touchdowns or more in 7 consecutive games. Why does no one talk about Andrew Luck? Yeah. Yes, Kevin.
What year is this?
2018, the year of our Lord Andrew Luck.
Wow.
I'm going to take the Colts.
I didn't realize Eric Ebron was that much of a difference maker, but apparently he is.
Eric Ebron's a big difference maker. He's their leading receiver.
That's insane.
I know.
Yeah, we'll go with the Colts.
Yeah, you got to go with the Colts, man.
Well, T.Y. Hilton was out for a few.
We saw Miami. Miami's terrible.
Yeah, they're bad. Let's skip ahead to the Monday night game real quick. Houston hosts the former Houston team in the Tennessee Titans. Texans are 7-3. Started off 0-3, and then they've just kept rattling off wins. They were a team I liked at the beginning of the season. I expect them to get it done one more time against the Tennessee Titans, who come in at 5-5. I will take the Texans to win another one.
Yeah, I like Houston at home.
Houston's a little bit of an underrated team, too. Like, they're a team that's getting it done. You don't hear a ton about them, but they get it done. And then they will hear. Tennessee's kind of a mess, especially Mariota. Mariota's not been what he was before.
Well, he got hurt last game. I don't know what the situation is there, if it's going to be Blaine Gabbert again or Mariota. But Mariota has you know, led for a lot of opportunities for Blaine Gabbert. You know, the guy is running all around the place all the time. And it pays off. I mean, it took them to a playoff game last year. They beat the Chiefs, if I remember that right. Mariota caught his own touchdown.
Yep.
So he's a good quarterback. He just gets banged up a little easily. But, I'll go Houston with you guys. And one more game, and that is the final game, and that's the Vikings at 5-4-1 hosting the 4-5-1 Packers. What is the spread on this one? I'm going to look that up here.
I think I've got Minnesota -3.
Okay, well, I'm going to take Minnesota either way. I don't see it with Green Bay. I don't have it for them.
I see like a...
I'm going to take Minnesota 30-20.
Yeah, I'm more like a 27-24, you know, Minnesota. Late possession. Packers make a stop. Offense gets the ball. Doesn't do anything. Somehow, Minnesota gets the ball back or something like that.
L.A. Rams' Jaire Alexander shows up, wreaks a little havoc, slows down that passing game. Mike McCarthy realizes that Aaron Jones might be better for more than 11 carries in a game, and then the weapons start to open up. And in the end, Aaron Rodgers gets the revenge for Anthony Barr.
I don't believe that.
Your final is going to be 24-23 Packers.
All right, we'll take the Packers. I'd take them if they had the great QB Marcus Mariota, but they don't. So I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings. That's it for us. Bill Michaels back tomorrow. Had a good time, guys. See ya.
Thank you.